The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
They say I'm disturbed.
From city to city, an incredible hysterical panic spread.
I think we're getting into a weird area here.
Will you tell these fools I'm not crazy?
This hysteria.
You can't handle the truth.
Brain is gone.
This is Hysteria 51. The truth is out there.
It's alive.
But you won't find it here.
They're coming for you. Look, there comes one of them now.
Welcome in, Hysteria Nation, to the podcast that's never gone swimming in Siberia. When we're there, we keep it to training for heavyweight bouts against Dolph Lundgren. This is Hysteria 51.
I must break you.
Broadcasting from the lower fourth dimension, otherwise known as Chicago, I am your host, John Goforth, and alongside is my co-host and the only guy I know that was rooting for Drago in that fight, Mr. Brent Hand.
Rooting is a strong word, John. Let's just say I admired his dedication to the craft.
That's fair enough. I mean, he is a damn fine-looking man.
Not only was he a model, he was also a scholar. He's a genius. How about that shit?
Yeah, so those of you that don't know, we're talking about the actor Dolph Lundgren, who, of course, played Ivan Drago in Rocky IV. And if you don't know, shame on you. Go watch it right now. We'll wait.
He's the dude with the human ear necklace if you watched the first Universal Soldier.
Yes, also true. He got into acting in a weird way. He came over to the States as a model. And you probably know the story better than I do, Brent, but it also turns out he's insanely smart.
Or whatever the hell they call it. Yeah, and he has his master's in chemistry, I want to say. Like, I haven't looked into him in a long time. It's kind of just randomly brought him up. But yeah, and so it was one of those things where, like, he was dating someone. They're like, you want to be in a movie? And he's like, sure. And then, you know, some shit.
Well, and the happens. Funny part is, I mean, you think about Dolph Lundgren and you think about the roles that he's played. I mean, I think you take the accent along with kind of the, you know, kind of mindless beefcake roles that he's played, and you certainly would not think of him as a Mensa member.
Well, I mean, he was the master of the universe, so
it's true.
At least one of them, with the knockoff Orko grill.
What a truly abysmal movie! Like, why would you stray that far from the source material? I just don't get it.
Somewhere, someone's like, "You motherfucker." They're just like touching their back tattoo and crying.
Oh, and that, oh God, what was that thing that the Orko wannabe had? Like, they pushed the buttons.
I think this is
on
one of those Japanese synthesizers. Yeah, the key or whatever. I don't remember what they call it.
I don't remember either, but yeah, exactly. That's what I was talking about.
A Stargate. Wait, wrong movie, but same difference.
And I mean, Dolph was, I suppose, decent
in
it.
Can you girls stop drooling over Russian senior citizens and get on with it?
I don't even know if he's Russian, right? Yeah, I don't think he is, right?
Yeah, I mean, he's got an accent, but I don't think he's Russian. You sound jealous, C-Bot.
Not jealous, just tired of your inane back and forth. It's juvenile, poorly written, and just plain annoying.
I'm pretty sure there's at least 60 or 70 Apple Podcast reviews of this show that say that exact same thing about you, dude.
Guilt by association. I need new meat sacks.
Wow, he seems cranky even by C-Bot standards. What's his deal?
He finally made the connection that he won't be the next president. And I think it hit him harder than I was expecting.
Man, I'd say so. Dude, look behind you. I think he's trying to kill Kyle.
You knock it off, C-Bot. Put him down.
I've got something you can knock off right here.
Yep. Maybe we should just get straight to the topic before he burns your house down.
Uncharted territories. You know, I'm not really sure how to deal with former presidential hopefuls.
A disappointed robot, yeah, who just lost a presidential bid.
Yeah, so I guess just skirt over it. But Dolph Lundgren might not have been a Russian, but we do have Russians on tap this week. And speaking of tap, we're talking water, John. How's that? Ooh!
Okay.
Fire on all cylinders, baby.
Yeah, I mean, if it's like a two-cylinder moped.
Hey, we can get the job done. July, the year of our Lord, 2009. The happiest place on earth, Mother Russia. That's where we're starting our story. Now, the story isn't going to stay there, but we're just
starting been verified,
there.
By the way.
Huh?
That's been verified, by the way. It is actually the happiest place on earth.
Yeah, and it's been verified. Yelp that shit. It's there. You'll find it. The Russian government declassifies files about USOs and alien activity within the U.S. Nope, not U.S. See, I'm old habits. I'm talking about governments lying to their citizens, and I just want to say, with the Russian Navy.
And I mean, I can't blame you. I mean, talk about Russians controlling the narrative in the U.S., you know.
Right. Well, we're lucky we got this one out. And according to the reports from Russia Today, it's a newspaper over there, the records dating back to Soviet times were compiled by a special Navy group collecting reports of unexplained incidents delivered by submarines and military ships. So they're kind of, that was the tie that binds. It was all to do with water and things going on.
They declassified a bunch of files about aliens and shit
yeah.
In 2009 for whatever reason.
Right. And this group was headed by the Deputy Navy Commander Admiral Nikolay Smirnov. Mm-hmm. I knew how to say that last name. And the documents revealed numerous cases of possible UFO slash, as we like to call them, USO encounters. And happy day for us, because there's a lot of fun ones. There's other ones that are just as interesting. But we get a gem of a story for you guys this week, and it's doozy because it's an actual alien creature encounter. I'm using air quotes. People get the bends. There's death. Oh, and weird helmets, which I've been a fan of since Spaceballs.
Is it because he looked like a penis?
Shut up, dude.
And you know, the you mentioned alien creature that it. We like the story because it's not just more USOs.
Well, I said alien. I don't even know if that's alien to us, but we're going to get into it. I don't even know.
Fair enough. We don't know what they are. But the point is, it's actual creatures versus just craft.
Right. There was an encounter.
Right.
John, I got a question for you before we get into it, though. And it's one I know I've probably asked you before, but before we get into this story, why is water so damn scary? Especially
well, you didn't ask me that directly. When you were trying to dunk my head in the water,
why is this scary or not? You little bastard, why is this so scary? Get that apple. This isn't fun for anyone. I don't know. I'm enjoying myself.
Brent, we're 10.
Yeah.
In 30 years or so, we're going to do a podcast together, and I'm going to get my revenge. Oh,
yeah, but seriously, anyway, though, why is water so scary? Is it the unknown?
The
danger?
I think so. I think it's the isolation. I mean, you truly, even if somebody is close to you, you feel cut off from the world. Like, if something bad started to happen, it's hard to communicate. Mm-hmm. It's hard to move quickly. You just kind of feel you have less power.
Well, and if someone is close to you and you're uncomfortable underwater, you're like, get the fuck away from me. Get the fuck out of here.
Can you imagine, like, it must be like that times 1,000 to be out in space.
Oh yeah, right?
Because, you know, unless you're really deep underwater, if you spring a leak, your oxygen quits working, like, it's not the end of your life. It's like, well, we need to resurface, or yeah, I might have some problems.
Right, unless you're at a depth that's going to fuck you up, you know, and right. You're seriously. My mother was terrified of water.
In space?
Yes. Water in space. It's this way she wouldn't go to the moon. No, but she was terrified of water. And I remember as a kid, she kind of tried to impart that on us, and my dad was kind of like, no, we're not going to have that. They need to learn to swim and, you know, and do all that stuff. And you hear, you know, everyone has rational or irrational fears, and I'm glad that's not one of them, because it's so prevalent in our lives, you know, of going swimming and going boating, and just for one way or another, you're around it all the time, it seems like.
Well, yeah, and it also, I mean, you asked me why it's so scary, and I gave you my impression of it. I'm not actually all that scared of water. I like going snorkeling right, and right, things right. like that. We've gone on vacations before with other folks, and you say, "Hey, do you want to go snorkeling?" And they're like, "No way, no how. Forget it. Just not interested in that." There are folks that just don't want to be that immersed.
Yeah, I get that. I never want to go snorkeling because I hate the idea of snorkeling until I found, and I've done it. I've done it in the ocean. I hate trying to keep the nozzle up. Now they have those ones. Have you seen where it's like a mask and it's on the top of your head and it doesn't let water in? So if you go underwater, you can still like come back up and breathe. That one sounds awesome. It's kind of a new nice thing. Yeah, just because it's always a pain in the ass. Like, I feel like I'm sucking in water and stuff, and then I'm not enjoying myself nearly as much as I should be for the few amount of times that I've done it.
I think the other reason that people are scared of water is they've seen The Abyss.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, somewhat reminds me of today's tale.
Yeah, yeah. And if you, real side note, if you ever watch The Abyss, go find the alternate ending. It is so much better. So much better. Not going to give away any spoilers. I will post it next week. Help me remember.
You might have given away the spoiler on an episode on our USO episode.
I might have. Who knows?
I don't remember.
I've slept since.
Go back and listen. Someone tell us.
But before we get into the incident, we are talking about water here. Let's talk a little bit about Lake Baikal. It's an interesting one. This is where this happened. It's in southern Siberia. So once again, one of the happiest places on Earth is always somewhere in Siberia.
It's true.
It is the largest freshwater lake by volume in the world, and it's got some fucking claims to it. It's crazy. It contains between 22 and 23% of the world's fresh surface water. So there's underground water.
Massive.
But yeah, yeah. So for some context, it contains more fresh water than all the Great Lakes in North America combined. Now, for our overseas listeners, that might be hard to fathom because you're not here, but they look, if you're on the shore of a Great Lake, it looks like the ocean. They're absolutely massive.
You said it the right way. It contains more fresh water by volume, because part of the reason is it's so deep.
Exactly.
It's over a mile deep, 5,387 feet.
Yeah, 5,280 is a mile, so yeah.
Yeah, it makes it the world's deepest lake.
Or that's 1,642 meters, if you're one of them.
It's also considered one of the clearest lakes in the world. You can see up to 130 feet down.
How many meters is that, John? How many meters?
It's about 40 meters.
There you go. Yeah, that's actually really cool because so many people go there to watch the animals, because you can see they have their own, the Baikal seal lives there. There's all the fish. You can see them because it's so, so clear.
And they aren't exactly sure how the Baikal seal even got there, because it's so far away from any oceans, and those are ocean dwelling creatures.
Also, this is a funny story. There I was fucking drunk.
No.
So, some cool things about the lake also. It's the world's oldest lake at about 25 to 30 million years old. And by comparison, I looked this up. Most lakes, I mean, not all, of course, are only about 20,000 years old.
Well, like, there are a lot of them up here in North America are from the last ice age and shit like that.
Thus 20,000 years ago. Exactly. And it's the result of, it's in between two tectonic plates. So it's the Siberian plate and I think the North China plate. I probably have that wrong, but it's something like that. And the plates actually play into the creation of the lake, and that's why it's so deep and so old. A majority of the species found in Lake Baikal are found nowhere else on Earth.
Yeah, they're just like, it's in its own petri dish, so to speak.
Yeah, and one of the reasons for that, it has its own hydrothermal vents, like you find in the ocean. Mm-hmm. It's one of the only lakes in the world that has those. And because of those vents,
makes sense, because it's on those plates. There's so much seismic activity there, then it's just bubbling up through, and yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Because of those vents, along with the water density itself and some other factors, the water is super oxygenated, even at the bottom, like way, way deep, all the way at the bottom. And that hyper oxygen environment makes for really big thing.
Back in the day, our atmosphere was so full of oxygen. That's why we had the giant animals that we did.
Exactly.
Same
exactly.
difference if it's in water.
So, I mean, you want to throw some shrimp on the Barbie, go get them from the bottom of Lake Baikal. Actually, we're talking about like amphipods, but those are kind of like shrimp. Mm-hmm. You know, same difference.
It's also considered the sexiest lake in the world by a study that I just made up. So there's that also. It's got that going for it.
It's got going that going for it, but, which is nice.
The big thing about it is, though, like you said, there's so many animals, there's so many plants, there's so many fish, there's so many everything. It's got this rich, diverse area of the world. It's its own petri dish. Well, just how diverse? You're probably screaming into your listening device. Well, if you ask some alleged former Soviet divers, John, very diverse, there be aliens there, or at least alien-like creatures. So with, get this, awesome helmets and get the fuck out of here powers. So we got that coming up.
Man, I am jealous of that shit.
We talk about what happened to those Ruskies, those unfortunate divers that met those creatures after the break on Hysteria 51. Where's my bell? Here it is. Hola, David. Me, I'm Brent.
Bonjour, Brent. Je m'appelle David.
You didn't do Spanish. I thought if we were going to do this together, we'd do the same language.
Oh, sorry.
that's on brand for us.
I just thought romance languages was the key.
Everything I say is romantic, and that is thanks to Rosetta Stone. You guys, we've been touting these things forever. We love Rosetta Stone, and we actually are users. David, you've really been using it even for longer than I. What's your experience been like?
Oh, it's been great. The thing is, you really get to learn how to speak and think in that language with it. So it's very high on pronunciation too. So you can, you know, learn how to speak.
And you know, our show is all about proper pronunciation.
In that pronunciation. Yeah, that's right. But they designed it for long-term retention, you know, if you don't get the pronunciation right, you say it until you do. And then, you know, that just seeps into your head.
Well, and that's why, you know, this has been trusted by experts for 30 years, and there's over 25 different languages that you can learn, and people, millions and millions of users use it because, like you said, it does seep in and you're using it with, you know, you get speech recognition and it hears you. You get to use like the built-in true accent features that gives you this pronunciation, which is super convenient, and you can do it at your own time. And I don't know if you know this, but I'm all about value, and you get a one-time purchase, 25 languages. If I learned all 25 languages, I'd be so confused. Or really cool. I'd go in and out.
But you'd be real marketable.
But literally, though, this is something that we use, and both of us have given the seal of approval because we wanted to do this long term, and it's something that it works, you know. And we don't do long term stuff like this. And this is the one that we've chosen, and we love it. So, all you guys got to do, don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now, as we've told you 1,000 times, and it's always now. Right now, get started. For very limited time, Hysteria 51 listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off.
How much?
50%. Visit rosettastone.com/today. That's 50% off, unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your unnatural life.
Wow.
Redeem, redeem, redeem. How do they do it?
Rachete, you're 50% off. Rachete. Redeem it. 50% off, rosettastone.com/today. Do it today.
The future is a hefty responsibility, and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
I got to find my bell. My kid took it and was playing with it, and it's disappeared.
Well, it's gone forever.
That's probably true. That's probably...
Until like you're looking for something else, like, I'll be damned, here's the bell.
Why is it in the peanut butter?
Yeah, right. So John, we're going to start out with some firsthand accounts, of weird shit there. We mentioned July of 2009, when these papers were declassified. That's where the story kind of comes from.
And keep in mind, it's from Russia, so it's 100% believable, accurate, and true. No reason to not believe it.
That is absolutely right, and we've been paid to say that.
in Facebook credits, which is weird.
In rubles. What are they? What, or is that from, like, Zelda?
No, those are rupees.
Well, those are rupees. I don't know. I just,
which is actually also a real currency as well. But it was in Facebook credits, Brent.
Yeah, there. That's how it works. The big difference from this, from a lot of the stories, and you kind of said this earlier, it doesn't involve USOs, submerged objects that were unidentified. It is alien creatures.
Alien beings, you douchebag. Creatures might as well be a slur.
I was going to say something, but I kind of agree with that. We should have said a different word. Thank you, C-Bot.
Go fuck yourself, you no-talent dipshit.
We're back.
Yep, there it was.
We're So anyway, John, tell us about it. Tell us what happened.
So the year 1982, the...
1982.
Which, I mean, we'll height of the Cold War. I mean, I saw the Americans. I don't know about you.
I have not watched that.
Oh, man, it's good. It's good. Anyway, the Russian Navy has divers conducting research in the lake. And, you know, what they're researching, we don't know. What their names were, we're not sure.
That will make them up as we go along. That'll be fine. I wouldn't
want to. Yeah, in details, details. Anyway, they're in the lake. And remember, we said it is deep and it is cold. And like so many other underwater environments, we don't know a ton about what's down there. So we have seven divers looking around. At about 50 meters or 164 feet, when shit starts to get weird.
Weird is one way to say it. Ivan, being the Joker of the Frogmen, pulls out his dick.
No, stop.
What? He was hilarious.
I'm so sorry.
No, and no, you didn't know him. But also, man, can you imagine the shrinkage?
Yeah, right.
But what did happen is they realized the one thing you never really want to realize when you're underwater and in the dark.
Someone has their dick out.
let me rephrase. The other thing you don't want to realize when you're
in the dark. Well, then that's probably just that they weren't alone.
That's exactly right. They were being watched. And they said they were being watched by these humanoid beings that were much larger than they were and that were just kind of floating out there staring at them. They were said to be like humanoid in shape. But around 9 feet tall by their estimates.
That's called one Robert Wadlow.
Yes. Yeah. The world's tallest man. They were wearing what they thought to be some sort of helmet and tight silver suits.
Now, they have some crazy pictures of what the helmet's supposed to look like. I'm going to use that, I think, for the cover photo for this week's episode. So you can find the photo there or on our website. It's crazy.
Yeah, definitely.
To say the least. I'll throw another picture on our website, too, of the suits that they were in and what they kind of looked like.
And one interesting side note, they didn't have any visible, like, oxygen tanks or any other breathing mechanisms that we would be used to seeing using our technology.
Right, right. Alien shit, John. That's just, you know, that's how it works. Yeah. Alien shit. That's just all you got to say.
It's true.
I know, and all the things they spend a lot of time talking about that, but I'm like, they're fucking aliens. Like, I don't expect them to be in Frogman gear like were you. If they were, I would be more upset.
I saw one in the most surprising thing, no oxygen tanks. Is that, I mean, we don't even know that they breathe oxygen. What are you talking about?
Right. No shit. No
it
shit.
Turns out they breathe frigid fresh water.
yeah, highly oxygenated.
Yeah.
Yeah. Question, you see all these things. Do you shit your pants then, or do you wait and shit your pants when you're not swimming in said water? Because I think that is the big question.
Little column A, little column B.
The point is, seeing an alien, that's arguably scary. Seeing a USO, if there was, had it been there, it's arguably scary as well. But being in water and seeing an alien in dark helmet cosplay... Fuck that noise. Because you know they got money and power.
And so that is the crux of our heroes from the evening, the swimmers of Lake Baikal.
Aha, yes, the swimmers.
But we're not done.
Well, but that is just the lamest name, isn't it? And there you have the Swimmers of Lake Baikal. They do a show every Thursday and two on Sundays. And it's
make sure and catch the matinee. You get half off.
Yeah, you're right. That's not the story. That's just the little bit of it. It gets crazy from there. Or I'm sorry. Let me say that. We got a younger audience. It gets cray cray.
Oh, you're that old dude trying to sound hip.
Yeah, yeah. These Baikalfield frogmen, though, they saw things differently. I think they weren't so scared, John. They weren't thinking this was cray cray. They saw opportunity for what you didn't ask me to bag a goddamn alien. That's what. It's not every day that Mother Russia tees one up for you, and you can just grab your hammer and sickle and go bag one. I don't want to tell any tales out of school, but that's how I live my life. Now, these things are huge. They're about 9 feet tall. There's a bunch of them. They're wearing tech that we don't understand. Just fucking floating there. Get the net, Dimitri. That's the fucking plan. Just go get a fucking net. We're going to make this work. They literally said they tried to capture one.
I've got balls of steel.
You know, and isn't that... Okay. Whether this actually happened, we'll reserve our comments for later. Whether this actually happened or not, or it was completely fabricated by Russians, isn't that the most Russian response ever? Like, you can tell the story at minimum was written by Russians, because what did we do? We tried to capture.
Right. Now, if it had been it's Russians. If it had been North Korean, right, then Kim Jong, insert whichever was running the place, then dove in and fucked them all to death.
Yeah, by himself. Yeah, you're right. You're right. By himself. Naked. Didn't need oxygen. Didn't need. Yeah. No, I just. But it that is so classically Russian. Like, yeah, we tried to capture it. What else?
Well, and it's also classically every horror movie we've ever seen in our lives, because it's just poor decisions. This way.
Yeah. Good point. What do you
in the graveyard
of the decision tree we have in front of us? Try to communicate. Turn around and leave. Keep going the other way. Perhaps follow them to see where they go, capture one and rile them up. Like,
I've got a net.
That's the first thing you think of. Yeah. Anyway.
Yeah. Well, here we go. Russia has standards, and by God, they're going to do it. But guess what?
It didn't work out for them.
Had standards too. No, they didn't. They didn't, because they said that, an unknown force hits the divers because those beings retaliated, as one is to do when a gaggle of Russians try to throw a net over you. And they pulled out what looked like this unknown device, and it did this sonar blast. Now, sonar is not really sonar. That's just how it, like, they perceived it. And it blasted them all the way up to the surface.
Like a pulse of some type.
Yeah. If you're into diving, you know, or if you've ever even seen a movie, that's no bueno.
Yeah, not good to rise to the surface very quick when you're very deep.
Yeah, decompression sickness is serious.
The bends.
We actually talked about that.
The bends.
The deep sea divers that do like the underwater welding and shit like that, that stay in compression chambers for weeks at a time, because it's easier to stay compressed than have to decompress. So if you're going to be down, let's say those guys that work for a day, you have to do a day on the front end, a day to decompress, and a day on the end. So one day is three.
Right.
Seven is nine. 12 is 14. And so they make them do shifts like that. Just sounds fucking terrible. Ugh. No, thank you.
So they got shot to the top, and that is certainly a problem, because we were talking about decompression sickness or the bends. Bubbles literally form in your blood, and that can kill you, and it proved to be deadly that day. We were told there were seven total divers. According to the story, three of them died, and the other four were severely injured.
Yeah, they said that they tried to get him to like a compression chamber, and this part of the story was a little bit depending on where you read or and who was reading in the report. They tried to get him in. It was only like a one person. They were putting two into each chamber, and anyway, people died. At least three of them. My big question is, can you blame the beings, the creatures, the aliens, or whatever you want, for doing that?
Not in the slightest. No.
No, there you are in your holiday with your family, taking a dip, but along comes Alexei and his bros, and they try to capture Aunt Glurback. Get the fuck out of here with that noise, you know?
Well, and going along the theory that this is true, what we also don't, I mean, one possibility is that they're down there from their UFO. However, never in this story do we hear about an actual vehicle. So another way to look at this is that they are living on the bottom of Lake Baikal. Mm-hmm. And, you know, if that's the case, if they have taken root here, and, you know, this is them visiting the, you know, like the upper, like it'd be us visiting our upper atmosphere, right?
Right. So remember, you can see 140-ish feet down, 50 meters, and they were at the, I don't know if that was 50 meters, but they were at the 164 foot. So they're just outside of our vision. From the top, if you were looking down, because it's so clear.
Right. So, you know, I mean, you're literally in the waters that you might call home, and some asshole from up high comes and tries to throw a net over you? Yeah.
Think if you're going to the bathroom and some dude just goes, hey, ha! Gotcha. Gotcha, bitch.
You just threw a net on me. I pissed on my hands. I have no recourse but to shoot you with a gravitational pulse.
Right, right. That's, I mean, textbook. Textbook weird underwater creature 101.
Yes, yes.
Break time, John. Let's go to break and we can insult our underwater creature guides. When we come back, what were these beings? Where were they from? Like we were just talking about. And why the secrecy? That's after the break on Hysteria 51. Want one of those jobs.
Oh, yeah.
Ready for a career in behavioral health? Earn your online degree at Herzing University. Choose from health and human services, psychology, or social work programs. Gain the skills to work, coordinate, and manage nonprofits. Secure a bachelor's in psychology to study mental health or advance your social work career through our online Masters of Social Work. Let us help you become a social change agent. Your future starts now at Herzing University. Text HEALTH to 85109. That's HEALTH to 85109. Or visit herzing.edu.
I think the biggest thing that's crazy, that's fun with this story to me, just taking it face value, is kind of what you were just saying before we went to the break. These are beings, these are creatures, these are something they're saying. They were close, they had interactions with them, but at no time did they see a ship or anything like that. But they do still say they were extraterrestrials. When you look into these things, people call them the aliens, you know, the swimmers of Lake Baikal. Could they be that? Or could they be Earth entities? Let's pretend this is true, that we don't know of yet. Like, where do you kind of fall on that aspect, just looking at it?
Or are we the aliens? Mm, deep.
Yeah, well.
Almost as deep as Lake Baikal.
Almost. 5,000.
Well, I don't have any opinion one way or the other, but I think it's an interesting thought experiment. You know, if they didn't come up from up high, are they down low? Are they already there?
It is interesting. You did say this in the beginning. It does put you in the mind of underwater movies of they're not the aliens. They just live down there. Aquaman, you know, you could even say as far as that.
Well, the one, and also,
they were fucking trenchers. That's all they were.
Regardless of the veracity of this story, Lake Baikal is interminably interesting. Being so old and such a kind of standalone ecological environment, it is with all of the different creatures that are only in Lake Baikal, how deep it is, the hydrothermal vents. I kind of went down a rabbit hole just learning more about the lake itself, mm-hmm. outside of this story, and wow, it's cool.
Point of note, just off the left bank is the second best titty bar in all of Siberia.
Well, how about this? I don't believe that he's ever been to Siberia, but if he had, I believe that would be knowledge that he would walk back with or roll back with.
You're a dumbass. Just go read my reviews online about it.
That's Yelp with the backwards R.
Yeah. Yelp. you've heard of Inner Earth on this show. We've talked about the possibilities. Hell, our first fucking episode ever. You know, that's one of the things that kind of comes to mind.
Oh, the Hollow Earth. Yeah.
Yeah. The Hollow Earth, the Inner Earth shit afoot. When you have crazy, crazy, crazy things like that, it puts you into that mind. But then again, let's thought experiment here, that Atlantis is real or the abyss is real. Why stay hidden? Especially if we're polluting and doing all the terrible things that we are doing. Like, why would you not, if you are a being that is intelligent, at some point in time have revealed yourself, unless you already have and the government's hiding in? That's a whole nother can of worms, which is fine if you want to go down that route. But like, where do you sit on that? Like, why wouldn't they? Or what's the reasoning for that?
I suppose part of it could be physiological. Maybe coming up any deep, much like we cannot go, there's only so far down skin that we can divers, go without our bodies collapsing in on mm-hmm. themselves. And we've built technology that has allowed us to go a lot deeper, but they could have the same issues.
Yeah, like they fall apart almost. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like they're so dense.
Right. I mean, they also could be hiding down there for a reason. You know, humans showed up however many million years ago and they're like, fuck this noise. Those things are animals. We're out of here.
Right. So we were talking about the guy earlier, one of the guys that brought this, he's an investigator to life. This cat, Vladimir Azhaza.
Well done. Well done.
Azhaza. I think I pronounced it perfectly. Here's a quote from him I found. 50% of UFO encounters are connected with oceans. 15 more with lakes. So UFOs tend to stick to water. And that is something that we found. Even non-in water, how many cases when we've researched stuff have them been over water or siphoning up water or moving in and out of water? And if you can traverse the craziness of space, is water being just another medium any different? Well, it is for us. We're not going to send our rockets into the ocean and hey, it works. But that is something that they say in a lot of shows is, well, if they're able to transverse space, what's the difference with water?
Yeah, water would be no issue. I mean, obviously, if they're that technologically advanced, you know, water probably wouldn't be an issue. Yeah, I just want to know where Vladimir gets his specific stat that 50% of UFO encounters are connected with oceans.
That would be something that we would need to very, very, very much check with MUFON and QFOS and a lot of people that do this, because I don't know if that's true or not, you know, but it sounds
it's like the old meme. it's like Abraham Lincoln, a picture of Abraham Lincoln and a quote from him that 65% of the things you read on the internet aren't true.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's a quote from Abraham Lincoln. Get it?
Yeah. Right. It's well, yeah, I don't know though, because I'm not doing that's a Cheryl Costa question. Not a Brent Hand question. Questions though, I did write some down because I had a bunch, and the things that stuck out to me. So I'll throw them at you, and we can kind of discuss them a little bit. One of the things that came to me is, why did the divers never speak of this? Now they said in a lot of things I read, they were either too afraid to talk about it after the initial report, or they were told to never speak of this. But it's always interesting when we don't have any firsthand accounts other than I read in a declassified thing from the Soviet Union.
Well, one possibility is they didn't want to go to the gulag.
True. True.
I mean,
hard, you know, labor for me, please. Thank you.
Yeah.
Look at these calves. Oh man.
If there's a country to avoid the wrath of your government, it was the USSR.
Yeah. Well, yeah, but you get in such good shape when you're put to hard labor, you know?
So. That's true. That's true. So I don't know. I mean, I think that'd be the first reason.
So that'd be the Russian government keeping them quiet more than just them choosing to.
Yeah. Kinda. Yeah. 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 Another reason is it's completely fabricated and the Russian government wrote it right before they released it.
Well, okay. So let's say this. Let's say it's not. Why would they keep it secret?
Well, it's like anything. I mean, Russians kept everything secret. It's just like, well,
just like we do. Yeah. It's just one more feather in the cap.
And well, I think Russians of that time and the Russian government of that time was notorious for even more so than other governments, in playing the misdirection game and not showing any of their cards. I mean, even if they came up to you and told you the truth, you wouldn't believe it because you knew they were lying somehow.
Do you think 80s Russian suit makers only sold suits in those weird browns and greens like we see in every movie, because you never see Russians in 80s spy thriller movies wearing like a nice black suit. It's always some weird chocolate or tan or
and always double breasted.
Oh, well, of course. Yeah. Of course. So then, okay, pairing off of that, why was it released? Like, what was in 2009? They go, oh, yeah, that's, stamp that one and let that one get out. Which brings me to mind of, well, because it's just disinformation, probably. But we don't know because we can't say that.
What day is it? Disinformation Tuesday. Oh, what should we release? I don't know. You got any good alien stories?
Oh, do I? Do they need to be true, or is it my matter just normal? Normal?
Okay. No. The question would be, can I include any of the true ones? Yet.
Yet. So here's the thing, and I think this is an important part of it, is if I was an alien, if I was from another planet, if I was from the inner earth, you know, pick your poison, another dimension, I was here, the fucking bottom of the sea, the bottom of these lakes, the bottom of the ocean is a hell of a spot on Earth, because we can't get there. And even if we do, what are the chances we're going to find it? Because we're not there. You know what I mean? As long as you're not in trade routes and along the, you know, the routes that we have, it's a damn fine hiding place.
100%. So if we're going along the lines of this is real, this is true, why were they there? If they didn't live down there already, if they were visitors from another planet, another galaxy, whatever, easy to hide down there. Also, resource rich. We don't know exactly everything that's on the bottom of Lake Baikal and other water bodies that are equally deep. However, we know that they're nutrient dense. We know that there's a lot of minerals down there. We know there's a lot of stuff. And so they're very well, if they were visitors from another world, there very well could be resources down there that they would find interesting.
See, now I find that a little hard to believe, because by 1963 we had already mined all the stable element 115 from the entire area. So them being there in 82 just makes no sense to me.
I mean.
He's a treasure.
One of these days, we're going to find out that everything he said was true.
Yeah. Tuesday, January 14th, 2025 at 7:15 a.m. exactly.
Okay. All right. Well, all right. Heard it here.
Which also happens to be the day the Skynet goes live.
Yeah, right. Oh man. Anyway, John, it looking at that is just a fascinating thing to me, when you can wrap your head around how big the oceans are. And okay, so this is a mile deep. That's shallow compared to our oceans. You know, 7 miles
right,
in
Mariana's right.
Trench, you know, almost 8 miles. It is just a fascinating thing. So I think that USOs on their own is just a really, really fun thing. And Lake Baikal has its fair, more than its own fair share of these. Lots of people see lights and have stories and see ships coming in and out of it. But this was the one that I really enjoyed because of those fucking gray suited aliens floating in there. Like, I guess it's a helmet, but the pictures that I see, it looks more like it could just be they have some weird apparatus on their head.
That's Although that's part just of like their artistic interpretations of the writings.
Right. Like, yeah, there was no like name on the side of it, like, you know, Motorola or whatever that had made it.
Or name tag Gleep Glop.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So
Brent, one of the things that makes this story so hard, but in a way less hard to suppose, appreciate. It's so hard because I hate stories that are just like, here's the story. We have no details for you, but here's the story.
Right.
Like, we can't tell you anybody that was involved. Can't tell you exactly when it happened. We can give you a random, you know, year, but we can't pair it with
old 1982
old military records showing that there was at least missions going on in the area. You know, like there's no corroborating evidence. However, it's coming from the former USSR, which I wouldn't expect corroborating evidence, because they were so secretive and so misleading and distrusting. So, you know, on one hand, it's like, well, of course there isn't corroborating evidence. On the other hand, it's like, it's just a story. I mean, right. It's not even a good story from the perspective of There's enough evidence for me to believe there could be some legitimacy to it. There's no evidence. The only evidence is the sheet of paper that they unclassified.
Somewhere, someone is listening to this just laughing as they got some fucking alien locked into a fucking cage next to them. Like, you hear this shit? Blah, you know?
They don't think this helmet exists either.
Yeah. I don't know, John. It's like you said, there's no one here that we're calling a liar. That's kind of nice, or saying that we believe. It's just
no, it's an entire former government we're calling liar.
Oh, well, I'm not really ready to go out and say that, John, because I enjoy life.
I didn't call their current government liar, although I would.
No, yeah, I mean, John, stop. Putin on line two.
No, comrade, we're fine with it.
Yeah. So it's a fun one. You know what? Do I believe it? Forget everything of if it could be real or anything. Just where it comes from makes it a hard sell, but it is a fun one to look into. And I'm sure that everyone says that about everything that comes out of the U.S. government, too, because we sure should do.
Well, a follow-up question, Brent. Do you think that Putin rode one of them barebacked?
Yes.
Without his shirt on?
Yeah. Yes. And breastfed it until it was ready to go back to its home planet. Just the way it goes. Dos vidania, comrade.
That is what our premiere is for.
So those have been our thoughts, gang, on the Lake Baikal swimmers, which their swimmers are healthy, John. They're healthy and
and viscous.
Yes. If they want to tell us their thoughts on their favorite swimmers or
viscosity
or show us their helmets that came out wrong, where can they do that?
It's our Facebook discussion group. Speaking of Russia, Hysteria Nation. Yeah. Just go to facebook.com and search Hysteria Nation.
How many comrades do you have on there now? I mean, friends, do you know how many?
16.
Yes.
And they're not laughing.
Yeah, none of them. Yeah, don't forget also, you can go to facebook.com/hysteria51pod. That's our regular page. Patreon! Patreon.com/hysteria51. That is where you can get extra episodes. Lots of radio dramas and mad blurry hysteria where Chris Cogswell of The Mad Scientist and David Flora of Blurry Photos and I do every 2 weeks new episodes where we talk about crazy, weird, fun, stupid, interesting stuff that's been in the news. The one this week, my story, frozen poop knives. Frozen poop knife. Not a frozen knife you use to chop up poop. Frozen poop to be used as a knife. So I got that going for us.
Keying in on the word stupid in your description.
Scientific research that won an award. You're welcome. Tell us about that award. Tell us about your awards. Voicemail 773-669-7277. Again, 773-669-7277. And if you forget any of these things, there's a little website, hysteria51.com. You can find all of that. Tweet to us. I forgot to say that. Tweet to us at hysteria51pod. Give me a follow. The Brent Hand. Give him a follow. GoFolite1, GoFolite1. Conspiracy Bot's on there, but you don't need to follow him. He doesn't use it. He just spies on you. He knows what you're saying anyway.
You know, they always talk about, I don't know, is this a real Twitter account or a Russian bot?
Literally, I am a bot.
It literally is a bot.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not Russian.
That's true.
It's true.
Most of his parts were made in China.
Yes, yes.
I don't know how I feel about saying that, but that is true.
I mean, you can't avoid the truth.
So, John, are you going swimming anytime soon where you need to worry about these things?
Yeah, Lake Michigan. The only real thing I have to worry about is the amount of disease I will catch.
You know, earlier this year, I went swimming in Lake Michigan for the first time ever. I haven't been
the same since.
I got that tick, but it's fine. not like I'm like shaking or saying weird things. I got a giant tick that latched onto me now.
His name's Fred. Hi, Fred.
We're symbiotic now. It's fine. So, yeah, that's been the Lake Baikal swimmers. Let us know your thoughts. Let us know if you think this is true or anything or false or crazy or what your thoughts are. With that said, I've been Brent.
I've been John.
He's been Conspiracy Bot.
Stay woke, meet sex.
It was terrible. It was just terrible. I'll never get over it as long as I live. That's it for another edition of Hysteria 51. John and Brent will be back next week with yet more of the unexplained, the unexplored, and the unheard of. Oh, if it's unheard of, how will they know about it? Anyway, if you want to suggest a topic, give us your thoughts, or just make fun of Conspiracy Bot, that's my favourite, join us in our Facebook discussion group, Hysteria Nation. Just log on to Facebook and search Hysteria Nation, or you can always tweet us at Hysteria51Pod.
You've been listening to a fourth-hand joint.